I have been requested to make this announcement. Dr. Roland Crowder, representing the Department of Church Architecture of the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, is available today to talk to student pastors about their building needs. Make appointments in the field work office. I'm sure that all of us will want to remember the organ recital tonight by Max Smith. Let us now turn to selection 81 as our responsive reading. We are happy to have Dr. Crowder in our chapel service this morning, and he shall lead us in our morning prayer.
Heavenly Father, we lift our voices to Thee, our hearts to Thee, in these moments of meditation, giving unto Thee thanks for this privilege we have of calling upon Thy name as we turn aside from the busy routine of our daily living. Help us to feel and realize the presence of Thy Spirit this morning as we have a message from Thy servant. Help us to lift our vision in order that we may see beyond our own places of abode and see the responsibility we have of sharing Christ, our Christ, Thy Son, with the multitudes around the world. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be made mindful of the fact that it is because of our responsibility given unto us of Thee that we must make Thy cause prosper here upon the earth. Help us to be mindful of the fact that it is through our diligence and dedication to the task that Thy work shall go on. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this place dedicated to the training and teaching of those who have dedicated their lives in Christian service. We pray, Heavenly Father, that each instruction and each study period shall mean the enrichment of the lives of those who are here for these training periods. And Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wouldst grant unto us forgiveness for sins, things we have done that do not please Thee, and things we have left undone which should have been done. And we pray that we shall all be strengthened as we spend these moments together, that we shall be enriched for the remainder of this day. We shall be encouraged to dedicate our service to Thee more and more each day. Bless us now as we wait before Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We regret that because of illness, Dr. Davis Woolley of the Historical Commission could not be with us this morning. But we are very fortunate indeed to have one of our fine missionaries on our campus, Mr. Calhoun Johnson, who has been under appointment for 5 years, four of these years spent in Chile, to be our speaker this morning. We're very happy that he is on our campus and that he consented at the last moment to be our speaker. Mr. Johnson is a graduate of Furman University and of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Let us unite in singing hymn 456, and Mr. Johnson will speak after the singing of the hymn. May we stand as we sing.
Last year, we were invited to the ordination of a Catholic priest in our city of Antofagasta. After the ordination service, we passed into another part of their building for a reception. Not that we had sought especially the acquaintance of the bishop of the Catholic Church of all of our area. Nevertheless, we had the opportunity to meet him personally. In the course of that conversation with him, I said to him, "You know, before I came to Chile, in the United States, I had faith in the message that I preached, but I have a lot more now." So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord during the last 4 years speaking to hungry hearts. Here where Bibles abound, in Chile they're scarce." And I remember placing into the hands of the mother of one of our university students a copy of the scriptures. Not that I agreed with the way she handled it, but she took the Bible and she let it open where it wanted to. And it happened to open to the 23rd Psalm. And I shall never forget the expression on her face as she read for the first time in her life that beautiful shepherd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Tears streamed down her face. And she said, "I'm going to memorize this. I'm going to say it every day." We found in her a response to God's word. And we've heard over and over again people who've never heard the gospel say, "You know, I've been looking for it, but I didn't know where to find it. And I have found him." And it makes us think sometimes that we were created for God, for Jesus Christ, and until we really find him, we're never satisfied. We have seen the Lord loving the unloved. One of the lay pastors of one of our northern churches is a dentist. His wife was a former social worker in the jail in their city of La Serena. We have visited on a number of occasions in their church, and I have seen Jesus Christ loving the unloved through this couple. We have seen them show no partiality to those who had money, who attended the services, nor to those who had nothing. We have felt that love going out, radiating from this couple. A Christian is one who cares, and we've seen them care. We've seen the love of Jesus Christ in them, expressed in their lives. One woman in that church said to me one day, "Pastor Johnson, this is the first time that I have ever really been loved in my life." And she said, "Many of us have never known what it is to be really loved until we knew Dr. and Mrs. Piva." We have seen the Lord lift the fallen. Sergio Rojas, a member of the Methodist Church, a boy who has a good education, found himself, because of some things which I really have never understood, in jail for 9 months. Not a single day did a friend of his miss visiting him. I often think about the words which I saw on the wall in a room where we were staying once. When I do right, no one remembers. When I do wrong, no one forgets. But this friend of Sergio's visited him faithfully, day by day. And in Chile, it's very, very difficult to get work after you've spent a term in prison. But you know, he has work. And he's now attending church, and I believe has rededicated his life to Jesus Christ. We have seen the Lord Jesus comforting the sorrowful. One morning I said to the man in whose home I was staying, "Wouldn't you like for me to take you to the cemetery this morning?" I knew that every Sunday morning he walked those 2 miles carrying water to water those flowers by his daughter's grave. Of course, in the great desert in which we live in northern Chile, there is no rain. And it made taking the water necessary. His wife, his son and daughter, myself, went to the cemetery. We walked through the large gate and found the little grave, the beautiful flowers that he had been cultivating. Since the death of that child, he had planted those flowers and had kept them faithfully Sunday after Sunday, watering them. As we returned from the grave to the entrance to the cemetery, I heard a voice. I heard someone singing. I thought, well, what is this? Out here, away from town, I thought we were the only ones in the cemetery. But as we left the gates of that cemetery, I realized that the mother, who did not join us as we went inside, was seated there in the camioneta, the carryall, singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And I realized that Jesus Christ had brought comfort to her sorrowing heart. We have seen Jesus Christ giving through the poor. In one of our churches started by a Southern Baptist layman, a mining town, of those 42 members, 40 are tithers. And the last figure that I heard, the average income of a Chilean is only $100 a year. We have seen Jesus Christ touch the strings that move the pocketbook and make people generous. And they give not because of some program in the church or a movement for tithing. It was explained to them. They gave as a love offering. They give as a love offering. They know from what Jesus Christ has saved them, and they know for what he has saved them. And we have seen him providing for the needy. One Sunday afternoon, after preaching in a mining town, a nitrate mining town, some 200 miles from Antofagasta out in the desert, before leaving the little village, we had prayer together with the passengers. I suppose there were around 8 of us in the camioneta. We asked God's blessing upon us as we made the trip back down to Antofagasta. After we had crossed the highest mountain, I realized something was wrong with the carryall. We coasted on for a while, but I knew we finally had to stop. I got out and breathed a prayer as I opened, and I saw the gears of the camioneta, the carryall, were completely loose. Right there, away from civilization, away from any town, on a little road that only one car or truck could travel. Getting down under the camioneta, I saw the situation. I knew that we needed wire. Wire which we were soon to find out that we didn't have. The pastor and my son searched the carry-all for wire, and they couldn't find any. I said, well, if we just had one piece of wire, I believe we could fix these gears. And then our son said to me, Daddy, here is a piece of wire right by the road, right by the tire. Now, that may not seem very strange to you or unusual to you, but where you don't have service stations and where you're out where there's very little traffic and where you're out in a desert, to me, it was a miracle that we should stop right by a piece of wire. And it was just exactly what we needed. We have seen Jesus Christ suffering in the persecuted. One night as we were taking a lady and her son home from the hospital, Dr. and Mrs. Peaver were in the front seats. She and I and the little boy were there in the back. I had him in my lap. And I was just so thrilled as I listened to her in her broken Spanish. She's only been in Chile 4 years. She came from Yugoslavia. I was just so thrilled as I listened to her speak of Jesus Christ and what he personally meant to her. And then she said, Brother Johnson, I have on my body the bruises of my husband. She says, Senora Piva knows it. She says, she's seen them. And I said, well, why? She says, well, since I have become a Christian, every time that I get home from the service, my husband beats me up, kicks me, and abuses me. I could tell she had learned a secret, and I was anxious for her to tell me what that secret was. Not with one bit of bitterness, not with any resentment at all toward him, she told me that story, just bubbling over. And then she said, you know what I say to my husband? She said, I tell him it is for the Lord Jesus and that he can just beat me all he wants to. Most of us would have called the law, we would have gone to court, or we would have left home. There was a woman who was allowing Jesus Christ to suffer through her. I was later told that her husband is just at the point of giving himself completely to the Lord. And we have seen Jesus Christ overcoming in the overcome. One university student who attended our meetings almost for 2 years suddenly disappeared. We missed him. We thought maybe we ought to go by and visit this young man. Maybe he's sick. We found out that he wasn't. We spoke to him, expressed our interest in him, but did not urge him to come back because we felt somehow that he was having a battle, an inward battle. One Sunday evening, months later, the doorbell rang. We went down to the gate. Alberto was at the gate. When we came in, after taking his seat, he said to me, Mr. Johnson, I want to change religions. He didn't know how to express it. And I said, "Alberto, do you mean to say that you want to give yourself to Jesus Christ? That you want to know Jesus Christ?" "Yes, sir. I have decided. I have made up my mind." We have learned not to take these verbal confessions at face value. We've had a little reservation about many of them, but we knew that time would tell. And so I said to Alberto, "Would you like to go with me to our service tonight?" It was almost the time for service. And I knew that if that young man were willing to go to church, he must have really changed. And especially an evangelical church. That isn't the end of that story. A few days later, we were together in the airport in Antofagasta. I had taken him there. He was going to represent our students in a committee meeting in Concepcion. Alberto is not very emotional. And by the way, I'll have to tell you at this point, he was considered by the teachers in the Catholic University in our city as being one of their best students. Very, very popular among the students. A student of philosophy in the university, Catholic University of the North. As he sat there, we were waiting for his flight, he said to me, "Mr. Johnson, last night in my home with the family present, my father said this to me. He said, 'Alberto, if you are going to follow this religion, you have no home with us.'" This example is not a very common one. Alberto said to his father, he said, "Papa, you have had the opportunity of making your decision. I would like to have that opportunity myself." From that day in March until this present hour, so far as I know, Alberto has never seen his parents again. But you know what he says? He said, "Mr. Johnson, since I found Jesus Christ, I feel secure. My life was so empty before I knew him. I was traveling without any destination." And he says, "You know, since I have given myself to him, life now has meaning for me." And the letters which we receive from him reveal Jesus Christ overcoming in one who was overcome. Our faith in the power of God and in the Word of God is strengthened as we see day by day what Jesus Christ, the risen, resurrected Lord, is able to do in the lives of his children. For if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Who makes the difference? Christ. We have seen him. Have you? He's closer than you think.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord.